FinAddicts Jimmy Kearns and Brian Byrne on the FinAddicts Network.
Welcome to the FinAddicts Miami Dolphins podcast. I am your host, Brian Byrne. This week, I am joined by my good friend, Jason Sarney of FinManiacs and of the FinAddict Network. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me and hope all is well with you, sir.
Yeah, great Saturday afternoon to be talking some Miami Dolphins football. So this is a brand new segment that Jason and I have decided to launch. It's going to change a lot over the next few weeks, but we figured we'd give it the old beta try. This is the fourth quarter edition of the FinAddicts Miami Dolphins podcast. This is just a show where we're going to take a quick 15-minute look back at the week prior in Miami Dolphins news. So we're going to be on a timer. We're not going to try to go over 15 minutes, you know, give or take a minute, but we're going to try to keep it in that realm. So, you know, today's attention span, 15 minutes is asking a lot. So with that, I'm going to start the clock and we're going to dive into some topics. So here we go. So training camp for the Miami Dolphins has officially started, kind of. we've started with socially distance strength and conditioning. We get some light workouts, we get some walkthroughs, but we're not putting on pads, we're not putting on shells, we're not doing full football drills, but you know, the colors, they're back, they're in camp, it's getting exciting. The pads come on the 16th, and that's also when reporters can start showing up at camp and kind of giving us, you know, the 411 on what's going on inside of camp. I know we're all used to debating the six wide receiver at this point and getting the live tweets from everybody at camp. But that should start again around the 16th. What are your thoughts on this, Jason? We're obviously losing preseason. We're obviously losing some training camp time. How does this affect Miami?
I mean, it affects Miami much like it affects every other team. But with Miami, I actually think that with the amount of youth that they have, and let's think about this, you know, they have a lot of undrafteds from this year, from last year, and rookies and young players, which, you know, if you want to put a lot of intangibles, you know, maybe not as many parents, maybe not as many, you know, other factors and health issues that have been built up that might lead someone like an Albert Wilson to opt out. And that's no knock on Albert Wilson. You factor in some health, you factor in family, he's a parent, he's doing something that's nothing more than admirable, you know, and that's just the nature of the beast. So how it affects the Miami Dolphins is a little bit better than most other teams. Let's take a quick pause. Let me just unplug the phone. I thought that I did. I'm so sorry. As it pertains to the Miami Dolphins, I just think that with that youth movement, look, this is not a great situation for anybody, but if there are teams up there, then you have to kind of say, what are the top 5, 6, 7 teams who might be better prepared to handle this? The Dolphins are right on the top of that list because of that youth and also because of the way that the organization has been handling it, from the way that they're testing, the way that they're just handling the facilities. They really are top-notch. We've spoken about this on a lot of shows. I mentioned this to death. You know, they take care of their employees and they take care of their players. So as Dolphin fans, we see, and we'll talk about it, the people on the list and the COVID situations, but I do think that there's a little bit of a air of optimism as Miami Dolphin fans and supporters, knowing that the players are being taken care of in the best interest for them, their families, and I think that we'll get out of this relatively okay.
Yeah, For me, I don't see the preseason games as being the ultimate knock on this. I feel like, you know, obviously it's a shame for the guys at the bottom of the roster. They're not going to get that videotape. They're not going to have their family come see them in the stadium and get to put on the uniform. But what I really see out of this is losing 3 weeks of practice. You know, we have 11 rookies. We more than that when you add in the 5 undrafted free agents. We have 11 free agents that we added. So it's definitely going to affect them getting accustomed to it. But it's also like those, you know, I don't see the gems getting the, those little hidden training camp gems that we find in Preston Williams and why can't I think of his name? Your favorite cornerback there. Help me out
Nick
here.
Nick Needham.
So I don't see it, you know, hurting them in preseason, but what I do see hurting them is when you have such limited reps in training camp, are these guys going – because like Preston Williams, he shined in preseason, but that's not where he made his mark. He made his mark in training camp every day against Xavien Howard, you know? So with these limited reps, will these guys have a chance to shine, not so much in preseason, but in training camp? You know, you only have so many options to get Austin Jackson reps. You only have so many times to get Hunt reps. You know, where are these bottom of the roster guys even going to get a chance to fit in? That's my biggest fear about this is just missing those gems, not so much in preseason, but in the training camp. But that being said, with the COVID, with roster churning, these guys may get that opportunity regardless. next, I think we have big week for the NFL. The NFL opt-out deadline was this past Thursday at 4 p.m. It affected the AFC East a lot. It affected the Miami Dolphins. We lost. Allen Hurns decided to opt out, and Albert Wilson decided to opt out, leaving a serious hole in the middle of our wide receiving core. You know, two guys, they combined last year for 75 receptions and just over 750 yards, 3 touchdowns. So there's going to be, you know, there's going to be some holes to fill. We're stacked at the beginning. We have Preston Williams, we have Devontae Parker. There is a few questions about will Preston Williams be available for week one? But after that, there's definitely some questions to be answered. We have Jakeem Grant, Isaiah Ford, and Matt Collins from last year. We have Kirk Merrick and Matt Cole as undrafted free agents. How do you see this shaking out?
I'm excited. I think that if we're going to talk first about Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns, and I referenced this earlier with an Albert Wilson, you know, if he's opting out, that's his reasons. Allen Hurns, same thing. And this is a guy in Allen Hurns who played with concussions, who played with other injury. Admirable, homegrown kind of guy from the area. You can't knock a guy. A couple of other stats you mentioned, all those kind of inside of the field and slot receiving presence of Wilson and Hurns. There is a guy who is pretty much going to take a lot of that repetition. He's not even a receiver. And that's going to be Mike Gesicki, and we'll get into that maybe a little bit later. I know some people might be saying, what? But that's a little bit of a deep dive for a little bit later in the show. But for the wide receiver room, not to be mean or rude for Albert Wilson or Allen Hurns, if there were a veteran pair that I would have been enticed to say, let's see them opt out so they could still be Dolphins potentially next year, but let's see what we can do with the youth. It's the wide receiver room, because a lot of people know, you know, that I'm a very big fan of, like many, Kirk Merritt. He can be a slot receiver presence, almost like a bigger, stronger, maybe faster Albert Wilson. Maybe not as fast, but definitely a stronger, more prototypical inside receiving threat who could return kicks. And I'm a big proponent of Matt Cole, who could sneak on this roster as a labeled wide receiver, but could really be a special teamer. But back to that slot situation, I think that the makeup receptions or targets are going to be made up by Mike Gesicki. He's going to take that role in a Chan Gailey offense, where when Gailey had big bodied athletic slot inside guys, once he had a very good tight end in Tony Gonzalez in 2008. That was when Gonzalez had a fantastic year. He's always had good years, but it was the lone time he had 1,000 yards and 10 plus touchdowns in the same season. So that's a little bit of a spice to Gailey there. And another situation was Eric Decker as not a tight end, but as a slot receiver for the Jets for Chan Gailey. Now, last year, I put an article out this past week that Mike Gesicki had 33 total lineups and targets where he was a tight end 57.6% of the times in line. That was for Adam Gase. That was wrong. He did 21.2% of those looks at the slot. Now, if you look at last year, Albert Wilson had 79.7% of his 247 snaps in the slot. Alan Hearns, 50 of his 192 snaps in the slot. Mike Gesicki, of his 374 snaps, was in the slot 74.8% of the time. That was last year. So you're going to probably expect spike numbers for Chan Gailey's offense utilizing the athleticism that Gesicki has. So the wide receivers are very good up top, 1-2. And then anywhere from Jakeem Grant down, let's see if there's a Gary Jennings or an Isaiah Ford that steps up. I do think the odd man out is Matt Collins. I know we're on a time constraint here, so I don't want to forget anything. I love the wide receiver room. I don't want to see anybody go, but I don't want to see anybody come in. I want this group to fight it out. I don't want any veterans. I know they took a look at Chester Rogers. I know they took a look at a past Dolphin up and down practice squad player Ricardo Lewis. But you mentioned this on Twitter, bro. You said, what does that tell you? I'll allow you to tell everyone what you said. It's evident. I don't think that they are unhappy here. Am I right? Or you elaborate on that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think so one thing that should be noted is Chan Gailey runs a spread offense. So that usually means there's two slot receivers. So I see Mike Gesicki getting about 70% of his snaps in the slot role. The other, and I forgot to mention him, but Gary Jennings is built for the slot. He's a big guy. He's fast. He's definitely going to have the opportunity to compete there. Kirk Merritt is made for the slot. 4'3" guy, 6 foot, athletic freak, can take those hits over the middle. But the other guy we're forgetting is Isaiah Ford. You know, he stepped in that role at the end of last year. He did really well. He had 24 catches for 240 yards. He basically took over the New York Jets game. So he's going to have a serious leg up. But, yeah, I think, Mike Gesicki's – there was a little fear of Mike Gesicki getting targets with Chan Gailey's system because he's not a big tight end guy outside of Tony Gonzalez. But I think we're looking at Mike Gesicki wrong. He's going to be a slot receiver. If Preston Williams has trouble starting this season, first couple weeks, I wouldn't be surprised to see Mike Gesicki line out outside. Yep. The other thing I really like about this is, Jakeem Grant's coming into his fifth year. He's only had 53 career receptions. He talks a lot about not having the opportunities at wide receiver. This is going to be a prove it year for him. I think there's going to be a lot of competition. I love Merritt. I love Jennings. I love Grant. I think we have enough. And like you said, Ricardo Lewis and Chester Rogers, we read a spread offense. We need 10 guys in camp to be able to run the routes, to be able to not get dehydrated. I think I'd much rather just bring in a couple camp bodies than competition for the guys. We're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Let these young guys get a chance and see who can shine. And, last year we saw it with Flores. We churned the bottom of the roster. The last 5 to 8 guys churned. There's another guy on a practice squad that might be able to do more. He takes a chance. So let's see what we got. I'm happy with the guys going in. I love Albert Wilson. I would have loved to see him recover, get a chance in the slot this year and see what he can do. But I also have full respect for him and Hearns taking care of their family. Not only his family, but Albert Wilson, he's a huge guy in Miami with foster children. He does so much charitable work, and it might be the best place for him this year. Well said. The last topic we have is that COVID list. We had a rough day on Thursday. We added free agent defensive end Shaq Lawson. We added 6 or 5 rookies, Raekwon Davis, Benito Jones, Brandon Jones, Solomon Kinley, Kirk Merritt. We also recently activated Malcolm Perry off of it. Jerome Baker's on it. We activated Cordarius Tankersley off of it and then instantly cut him. We activated Blake Ferguson off of it. This is all over the course of the week. And, You know, that's a lot. That's 8 or 9 guys on top of, you got to imagine 5 or 6 guys are going to be added to the injured list every week. You know, like, we're not hitting right now. We're loosely conditioning. So this is going to be something to keep an eye on. This is going to be a thorn in the side of the NFL all year long. You know, this happens on Friday. We're in trouble. There's going to be a lot of roster churning. The one thing that you do have to say about this COVID list is it does not mean they're positive for COVID. We are not telling you that Kirk Merritt has COVID. All we are saying is Kirk Merritt either tested positive for COVID or came in contact with somebody on COVID. Correct. So how do you see this? How do you see this affecting the Dolphins this year?
I mean, again, it goes back to how it's going to affect everybody. You mentioned a lot of rookies on that list, which tells me, I mean, are we going to talk about locker placement? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be something as silly as that in terms of one person was tested positive, showed signs, was coming into contact with 2 or 3 other people in proximity. That could be reasons why they're on the list, come off the list, what have you. But again, if we're just looking at the Dolphins, I do think that it's the youth that is going to help them get through this, and the strength of their facilities. You're talking about different kind of lighting that's going to be in the locker room if you read what Hard Rock is doing. So everything is the utmost of precaution. And I tell you the truth, I don't care about competitive edge in COVID. I hope every organization is treating their players as well as the Dolphins. You just hope this thing gets us through, gets the players through. And you mentioned opt-outs, you know, the other, guys like C.J. Mosley in the AFC. I mean, it's kind of nice to have marquee player or good players opt out. But at the same time, competitive edge is a whole different scenario when you talk about health and the actual spread of this pandemic. So I really just hope everything gets back to normal. But the Dolphins are the front runners in making sure they're doing their part.
We did hit our 15-minute. I want to go out with one thing. I think if anyone is prepared for this, it's the Miami Dolphins. Last year, we had 90 players on our 53-man roster. So if anyone's used to churning players and just getting bodies in on Friday, Saturday, and putting them in the huddle on Sunday, you know, Flores may have a leg up on that. But yeah, thank you very much for joining us for our first fourth quarter edition of the Fanatics podcast. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. And besides Finmaniacs and the Fanatic Network, you have the podcast The Deep Dive with Jason Sarney, which if you haven't tuned into, please jump on. It's on, you know, Apple Podcasts, it's on Google Podcasts, it's on Spotify. It's a great listen. He has unbelievable guests. Where else can we find you right now, Jason?
Well, I'm going to be dumping into one of my favorite things is prop betting. And I know that you're a betting guy. You're a daily fantasy guy. So now that we have actual salaries for daily rosters and we have seasonal prop situations, I'm going to be doing a lot of that. Keep an eye out for Twitter. But, yeah, focusing in on the deep dive, which you are you're my executive producer. So you got a leg up on knowing things I might not even know, right? So I appreciate your help and everything you do for the Fanatic Network.
And give him a follow at Orange Aquaman on Twitter. And, yeah, for me, Brian, I'm at Brian Bernsey on Twitter. Catch the Fanatics Miami Dolphins podcast. We usually drop on Thursdays. It comes out on Fridays. But we also have the Fanatics Network on YouTube. You can catch me. You can catch Jason. You can catch Seriously Sports with Savak, our other co-host, Jimmy. So jump on, and we will deliver a lot of great Miami Dolphins content. So thank you for joining us. And as always, fins up.
Fins up.
Have a good day, everybody.